World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
You pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, yeah, something's happened. Sorry, I just got text message. Something's happening here, baby. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to be square. Hey, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's coming down. Or going down, maybe, whatever. Morning. Good morning. 3/19, my sister Jane's birthday today. Jane would be, she's six years older than me, six. So she'd be, boy, how old's Jane? 80-something. Happy birthday, Jane. I don't think she listens to the show. Doesn't get up early. But man, huh? Wow. Crazy world. Crazy world here on my, I don't know about you guys. I got kind of, sometimes I don't even know what day it was. I got kind of wrapped up in what was going on around it and didn't realize what the day was. We're going to go to, Michelle, I got invited to speak in Marietta tonight to an event down there. So excited about going down there. You know what we want to talk to everybody about today? Huh? We'll talk to you a little bit about spiritual war that's going on. Is there anybody out there who would raise their hand? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. Said, man, there's something crazy going on. There's something crazy going on. Sicknesses are popping. Betty's dog's sick. People sick. Something's going on in there, folks. We've been talking for about, I don't know, a couple, 3 months maybe, that we're in a crucible. And we're in a crucible of where is this, just where is this whole thing going? This whole thing. Is it possible? Is it really possible? Our whole life, we've heard about it the whole life. Is there really possible the end of the world coming? Is there an end of the world? And what would an end of the world look like? And those of us who, you know, follow biblical prophecy, we all have our different opinions of how the thing's going to play out in the end. But what I made a comment just before we went live in the queue. What happens if Israel gets blown off the face of the earth and is still here? Is that a possibility, folks? Is that a possibility? There's something really, really crazy going on. And I think it's coming from a spiritual perspective. That's really kind of what I'd like to. That's what I'd like to dig into here tonight. So this morning, of what the hell's going on around us? What is it we're supposed to do? Before I get too deep into that, hey, Ray, what's going on with you guys up on this? I love people out on the streets. Ray's out on this. I don't know if he's out in the streets this morning. What's happening up there, Ray? Anybody got anything? Anybody other than Ray got crazy stuff going on, pushing back against the forces of darkness? Slow church, slowly waking up. I didn't even look to see if Ray's in here this morning. Maybe he's not. You in here, Ray? Maybe not. Ray's doing some unbelievably great stuff going on out there. So here's what I noticed. This is what I see going around over my spectrum of people, family members, extended family members, friends. I don't know if I've ever seen more demonic oppression than what we're seeing right now. In my life. I'm sorry, I'm looking at something over. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to take you next now that I've opened this can of worms. Go to Satan, number two. Pull up number two for me. Let's talk about the devil here a little bit. I don't know if we recognize this as such, but many of us are beginning now to face what I would call demonic oppression. Oppression, not possession. Not possession. The difference between oppression and possession is oppression is like somebody's pushing against you. They're oppressing you. They're laying on you. And possession is they actually take over your thoughts, over your mind. And first of all, we don't pull up Ephesians 6, Spencer. I didn't give you that. Like, you have to find it yourself. Ephesians 6. What does this really mean? As an old guy who's raised Catholic and didn't know anything about the Bible, really. Is that it? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Children, obey your parents for scrolling down. There we are. In fact, Spencer, let's start with that whole verse. There, brother. Start with that real quick. Because this is great. Raise your hand. You don't have to. If you see demonic oppression around you everywhere you look, and people don't recognize it as demonic oppression, they don't understand what it is. So here's Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Good question. Right off the bat, how many of you having family issues with your children? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? That it'll be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So if children aren't obeying their parents, there's a consequence to it. And then fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You said, Lord, I did that, coach. I did that, and they're still acting crazy. My kids are crazy. They're not serving the Lord. They don't go to church. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sickness of the heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Just do it because you love the Lord and you know it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Just do the right thing. I'm going to show you that in a second. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, and don't be a man pleaser. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye be masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master is also in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. There is no respect. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't have favorites. Okay? Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord, power of his might. Here we go. What do you have to do? You got to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, I think we did this before. Spencer, I'm sorry, brother. What's a wile? Wiles of the devil. What's a wiles of the devil? Hey, folks, look, I'm not trying to waste your time. Some of you are under demonic oppression and don't even know it. Wile, a trick or stratagem practiced for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious artifice. That you may be able to stand against the wile, that you may be able to stand against a trick or stratagem practiced for ensnaring or deception. See, the Lord can't drag you to hell. I'm sorry, the devil can't drag you to hell, but he can sure make you ride miserable on your way to heaven. With me? And a lot of things, that's all the enemy can do. But we don't understand oppression. We don't understand what would make somebody act like that. I look at what's going on around me and I think, what the heck? What's going on? And then I hear from people here at Coach Dave Live, the things that they're dealing with. Well, I got to be careful what I say, because when I say things, it incriminates people. I really don't want to do that. And then I'll hear from somebody and, okay, so Spencer, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Spencer, I'm sorry. Webster, what's a principality? What's a principality? They are, what principality? There you go. It's a sovereign, supreme power. A prince, one invested with sovereignty. The territory of a prince, the country which belongs to the prince. Superiority, predominance, the scripture, a royal state of affairs. So a principality is someone in a position of authority. Whether they have seized it legally or whether they haven't seized it, they're fighting to take it. So you have to beware that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now look, high doesn't mean high up. It means authority. The battle, folks, would you agree with me that we got some wicked, wicked people in control of not only our government, the governments of the world, right? So you look at Islam, you say what you want to about Islam. Islam's all about death. They're their father, the devil. Kill, 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 kill. And then here we are with Christianity. We're supposed to be loving, care, yada, yada, yada. And yet we are getting overrun
with wickedness, right? Okay, take on the whole armor of God, you might be able to stand against the evil day and having all to stand, okay? So there is a spiritual war that's going on around us today. There is. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. Go to number two, Spencer. What is demonic oppression? So did you have that up there once? I think you did. I think so. Yep. Okay. So let's just hang on here a second. Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. We laughed. Huh? We laughed. Demonic oppression refers to a persistent affliction or harassment by malevolent, that means bad, spiritual beings called demons, which influence what? Thoughts, emotions, and behaviors. Now, unlike demonic possession, where a demon takes fuller control of an individual, oppression often manifests its believer or unbeliever through discouragement, bondage to sinful patterns, or an overwhelming sense of darkness. Scripture presents demons as a hostile force opposed to God and humanity, seeking to deceive and distort the truth. Are you tracking with me here? What's the job of a demon? Discouragement, bondage to sinful behaviors, overwhelming sense of darkness. These beings, they're beings, friends, are being mentioned throughout the Bible as real entities, hostile to the purposes of God. Their existence is fundamental to the biblical worldview, consistent with Christ's own ministry in casting them out. The consistent witness of Scripture, corroborated by historical records of exorcism in early Christianity and references in the Dead Sea Scrolls, similar spiritual conflicts reinforce the belief that demonic oppression is a genuine spiritual reality. Now, I'm not going to read down through all these, but here are some that you can check out later. Biblical examples of spiritual oppression. Saul's distress. Saul experienced a tormenting spirit. Job's trials. Going down, Spence. We're going to go quick on these. Job's trials. Though primarily afflicted by Satan himself, Job's story demonstrates that oppression can involve physical and mental suffering. New Testament accounts. Signs of manifestation. Persistent. Folks, you find yourself in any of these? Persistent darkness or despair. Just like a cloud hanging over you. Bondage to destructive habits. You do something, and when you get done doing it, you say, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Spiritual confusion or delusion. Scripture warns of deception. When a demonic force influences one's thinking, that's why the Bible says take captive every thought. Spiritual confusion. Resistance to prayer and the word. You don't pray, you don't read the Bible. The oppressor in biblical perspectives, origin of demons, present work, and we're all going to put in the chat. I'm not going to read all of it to you. The ultimate defeat. Scripture guarantees the demon's final defeat. But in God's created order, which includes a divinely orchestrated universe consistent with intelligent design. Okay? Overcoming oppression, yada, yada. Okay, now, put that aside. You guys believe in demonic oppression? I believe in demonic oppression. Suffer it myself. See others suffering it. And they don't recognize it for what it is. Okay, go to number three quickly. I'm giving you a real quick overview because I'm trying to get somewhere this morning. Number three. So here there are 30 powerful verses. If you want to know whether or not it's real, 30 powerful verses about demonic oppression. Matthew 24, news about him spread all over Syria. People brought him all who were ill with various diseases and those suffering severe pain and the demon possessed. James says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roar. He's not a lion. Picture is, he's on prowl like a lion, looking who he can pick off. Looking who he can pick off. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. So the problem that we have is we don't always understand the oppression when it comes, and our power over it. We don't understand. Scroll down quickly. The power of prayer. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to put it in the chat. So you can do it on yourself. Prayer works. Pray without ceasing. But this kind does not go out. What's a kind? This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Ephesians. We are right now. Okay. Just put in the chat. It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So look at this for me. Number four. Pull up number four. Can Christians be possessed? Joel Osteen. Watch this.
Joel Osteen teaches some really disturbing things, and then watch this Christian's response.
What I would teach would just be more how to live a great life.
You know, before we left Houston to go to Lusaka, we couldn't go anywhere without hearing about Smiling Joel.
Yes, I've stayed in my lane, and my lane is lifting people's spirits.
Will a gay person be accepted into heaven as you see it?
Well, I believe they will.
You see, their church, there's an NBA team in Houston, the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets built a new stadium in downtown, and so they had their old stadium. It's an NBA basketball stadium. It seats, 20,000 people. Joel Osteen's church bought that building and has multiple services in there on Sunday.
Do you feel like you're cheating people by not telling them about the hell part?
No, I really don't, because it's a different approach.
God knows how to repay you. Nobody can pay you like God can pay you with good health, with ideas, good relationships, and with the finances you need to fulfill your destiny.
And people often ask, how is it?
God has 1,000 times more blessing for you.
How is it that a false teacher who folds like a cheap suit every time somebody asks him about an important issue of the day, is homosexuality a sin? I don't know.
I've yet to hear a good reason as to why same-sex couples can't get married.
Well, you know, I've taken a position on that, and it's not my focus, and I hate to get into it because then you just get labeled as haters and stuff like that.
I mean, I really talk about the homosexuality when we get on the interviews.
How are so many people flocking to that? You know what? How I answer that question? People are flocking to that because the Bible is true.
Joel Osteen is more dangerous than most people think. Subscribe for more videos.
Cool. All right. So the infiltration into the Christian realm of basically it's humanism. It's humanism. Go to church so you can live your best life now and have a lot of money and be healthy, wealthy, and wise, when in fact, most Christians do not live their lives there. They don't, huh? So, Spencer, I saw this. I thought this was pretty powerful. Let me get Lou Holtz ready to go here. And I'm going to open it up here. Pull up number one. It's an email, Spencer. No, I'm sorry. Thanks, you're ahead of me. You're doing great. Satanic sites, I think, is what it says. Let me see here, buddy. I'm sorry. Demonic openings. I saw this today on the internet, yesterday actually, first time. Can you make it a little bigger, Skins? I'm sorry. It's very small. It's 34 satanic sites in the world. Hey, friends, Satan is real. Not Israel. Satan is real. His powers are real. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those powers. And we're seeing right now in America, many of what we thought were Christian places being taken over by the wicked one. Here are 34 satanic sites in the world. The Archibald, Augusta, Germany, Castle. Biltmore Hotel in Coral Gables, Miami. Buckingham Palace. CERN in Switzerland. CIA's Bohemian Grove. Comet Pizza in Hollywood. Denver International Airport, Epstein Island Dome, Georgia Guidestones, no more, Hoover Dam, Louvre in France, Louvre, London Bank 2, London Bridge, Lake Havasu, Arizona, Northern Castle, Notre Dame Cathedral in France, Opera House in Sydney, Australia, the Pentagon, the Playboy Mansion, Statue of Liberty, Stonehenge, Tesla Building, the Getty Museum, the Queen's Hunting Lodge, the Vatican, Three Gorges Dam, U.S. Capitol, Victoria's Secret's Home, Washington Monument, the White House. What? Huh? These are, according to whomever, these are demonic openings. These are demonic gateways, openings that we used to, Windsor Castle, that Christians used to possess and no longer possess. They're portals. Thanks, Paul. They're portals. And we don't understand. So since we don't understand what we're wrestling against, we never get to, oh man, my goodness. So I want to show you 11 doors that can open down. Now I'm going to open it up. Look, folks, I just want you to know this. We're dealing with this in our lives. I'm talking about my family. My family's dealing with this. Our extended family. We see it. Those of us have eyes to see understand that she's not acting right. Why isn't she acting right? Because there's a demon that's influencing her thoughts. Now, okay, well, here's 11 doors that lead to demons. Scroll down. That's it, Spence. Thanks. 11 doors that you're dealing with in your house. Number one, generational curses. Generational curses. Was your dad a Mason? Was your dad involved with some dark businesses? Was your mom involved in something? Why do they call that? My brain just went dead on me. The women's Masons. What do they call those women's Masons? How about this?
Eastern Stars.
Eastern Stars. Thank you, Steve Deck. Those bring oppression and open. We can call them curses if we want to. Openings. Openings. Now, the Bible says that the sins of the father are passed down to the second, the third, even into the fourth generation. So some of us are dealing with familiar spirits or something that through our family line, we've all just kind of become comfortable with. My dad was a drunk. I'm a drunk. You've seen that stuff passed down through the line, right? Number two, what can cause generational curses? Or I'm sorry, what opened the door for demons? Unwanted pregnancy. The child in the womb is hated, not desired, or rejected since birth by the parents or the family, then that gets transmitted to the child. Some woman got pregnant. She didn't really want to be pregnant. She has the child. There's a resentment, yada, yada. These are spiritual things. Number three, growing up in a broken home. Somebody say boom on that one. Remember when families used to stay together, right?
Boom.
A child grows up in a broken home. It does not only create emotional and cognitive issues, but also spiritual ones. As the child is faced with uncertainty and pressures that they're not equipped to handle, such as a young age, demons can use this instability to harass and torment the child. The environment is a facilitator for the spirit of anger and hatred to come in at a very young age. Anybody out there other than me say boom? Wonder why Joey acts that way. Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Mommy and daddy split up. He lives with mommy part-time. He lives with daddy part-time. He feels rejection. Doesn't know what's going on. Opens him up to what? Who knows what it opens him up to? Number three, involvement in the occult. It's Stephanie, we're getting into the occult. I'll get you a second, Stephanie. Huh? Come on now. Huh? Come on. When you dabble into the occult, you're choosing them blatantly. Hey, any of you out there taking an oath? Taking an oath to something other than the Lord? The occult ranges from astrology, witchcraft, tarot cards, black, white magic, Ouija boards, horoscopes, talking to the dead. And even though our culture seems to have accepted and even embraced these practices, scripture has not changed and continues to condemn it. And practice of it. Why? It opens a portal. It opens a window. Look, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your children, your extended family. What's going on? Why does your husband react that way when you bring up that topic? Why does your wife react that way when you bring up that topic? Why do your children react that way? See, it's spiritual oppression, not possession. All right, number five, taking part in a false religion. There's some believers that desire to learn about other religions, saying they want to win those people to the Lord. Yeah, next thing you know, they're caught in. Number six, bringing demonic objects into your life. What? The spiritual world is real, and the spiritual powers can flow through people, places, animals, and objects. In fact, the Bible shows us that God uses Moses' rod, the waters of Jordan, to heal. The saliva of Jesus to open the eyes of the blind. And even the handkerchief of Paul. God can use any venue to bring about healing. In the same way, you better be careful, because your enemy can use those same objects to bring about his plans for destruction to your life. This includes occult books. Things that have been, hey, I remember when I watched The Exorcist. I was in college. Can anybody remember watching that movie the first time, The Exorcist? What kind of door and portal did that open up? And what? Ask yourself this question. Why does Hollywood produce these scary movies? Is there a spirit attached to them? Abuse. This is probably the most common open door in the West. Abuse causes deep inner wounds that give way for demons to cause further torment for that individual. Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, my dad always said this. My dad always said that. We had a bad coach, and the coach beat you down. And so, therefore, your self-image, whatever the heck that means, gets impacted by what somebody else did and caused a wound and an opening, and other people tap onto that thing, not on purpose, but they bring up something, and immediately you react defensively. Because why? It's a spirit. Spirit of rejection, spirit of abuse. How about number eight? Tune in, turn on, drop out, illicit sexual encounters. Wow. Scroll down, Spence. Sex is not just a physical act. It has spiritual repercussions. Because it is spiritual in nature, it affects the soul, the mind, and the emotions. Sex helps individuals become one flesh. According to Scripture, With a partner that they come together with. Demons can be transferred from one person to another by partaking in sexual acts outside of marriage. That'd be a boom, wouldn't it? Say, well, that was 60 years ago. Yeah, yeah. You've been dealing with it ever since, haven't you? How about this one? Abortion. When we commit an injustice towards others, it brings a curse upon our life. The Bible's very clear in saying that murder is sin, and therefore it brings about a curse on our lives. Can you repent of it? Of course you can. Of course you can. Repent of it. Repent of it. It brought a spiritual bondage to it. Number 10, ungodly entertainment. I got to hurry up here. When we begin to fill our time and life with ungodly sources of entertainment, they could lead the way to an open door. This is me, okay? Listen, I'm not a, I haven't had a beer in a long time, but I'm not a teetotaler. If you would give me a beer, I mean, you give me a beer. But if you are a Christian who consistently drinks spirits, that's what they used to call them, right? Spirits. Huh? Come on now. It opens the door. And when you open the door, you hit a moment of weakness. By any of these things. The devil looks for moments of weaknesses to try and enter into our lives. We're not perfect. Sometimes we can snap and act in a way that is not right or watch something we shouldn't have. But we don't repent to God and to the person we hurt and change our behavior, and that's where it could become an open door. This happens when a person chooses a sin instead of turning from it. Let me give you an example. I was mad at somebody. And my wife said to me, when are you going to let that go? And somebody raised their hand. So every time I think of that person, I want to hear them in the freaking mouth. When are you going to let that go? Because every time you harbor that anger, you're opening the door to demonic oppression. This is kind of crazy what I'm going to show you right now. Pull up Lou Holtz. Lou Holtz was the football coach at Notre Dame. He was from Ohio State, actually. Betty, he's down there by where Betty lives, actually, down in the hills. And I, Spencer, this is Lou just passed, by the way, just passed. And I want you just to hear, this is, we're not going to listen to this whole thing, but just listen to the simplicity of what Lou Holtz says. Start about the 5-minute mark here. Well, no, it's too far. Start about the 2-minute mark. Go ahead, start it.
Number two, let's do everything the very best of our ability. Not everybody can be an All-American. Not everybody play the NFL like Frank. But we can be the best we're capable of being. That's what we have to understand. What is our capability? With my children, not everybody can be an A student. I just say, was that the best you can do? If it wasn't, what we go change? And if it is, God be it. Rule number three, show people you care. That's all. Show people you care. You're never going to meet anybody again that need a smile, a kind word, encouragement. We all have difficulty. We all have challenges. But that's part of life, being able to handle it. And let's remember this. The most important people at this summit are you. You make the difference. If it wasn't for you, no money, there is no cause. But we have to change this country. Change the culture.
Okay, listen, number one I missed. Number one was do the right thing. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know the right thing. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't try to get even and say, well, he was mean to me last time. I'll piss on his grave. No, no. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. A couple more. Go ahead.
Sure.
He's hard to
hear. The way we look at things, the way we believe in things, and start accepting responsibility for the choices we make. But rule number three is most important. Show people you care. There's not a person in this room that needs a smile, a kind word, and encouragement. We all have problems, but let's learn to handle the problems. I have a strong faith in God, and I think that the one thing we have to do is get back to the faith in God and believe it. We do the right thing. Things are going to work out. Not everything's going to be our way all the time. But we have a choice. A choice of how we're going to treat people. I was blessed to coach at Notre Dame. I've been blessed to coach in many places. People say, why is Notre Dame special to you? Well, they built a monument, built a statue of me. That says it all. Don't need anything else. But I've been blessed. But those three rules are all you need. Why? Because if you do the right thing, you're always going to have the trust of people. And if you don't do the right thing, your marriage isn't going to last. It's not complicated. It's that simple. Just do the right thing. Just stop and say, what's the right thing to do? Rule number two answers the question, are you committed to excellence? You know, everybody wants to be first team All-America, but they can't be. But just be the best you're capable of being. That's all we ask out of anybody. Rule number three, show people you care. Because if you have a problem with children, and I have four of them, all girls but two, I'm real proud of that fact. But it's like anything else. You hold them accountable for the choices they make. And when they made a bad choice, you never criticize a performer. But you have an obligation to criticize the performance. And there's a difference. You'll never meet a young person again. They then have problems, difficulties, and challenges. That's up to us to set the tempo. You know, the people in this room, you make a big difference.
Okay. You know, put it in chat. You can watch the rest of it. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. Why is it so hard? Do the right thing. Come on in, Mary Beth.
I had a pastor years ago who used to come to the post office, and my postmaster was really, really a harsh kind of a person. And he paid a lot of money. He mailed a lot of packages. He had a small business. And he would just flip out at him if he came in like at, 3 o'clock when closing time is 4. Well, he showed me a really good example because he went to her and he asked forgiveness from her. I mean, he was kind to her. And I just was like, I never forgot that. I'll never forget that, because my first, inclination is to want to get back at the person that hurt me, But anyway, that was what I wanted to say.
Amen. Amen. Look, friends, forgiveness is really, really hard. It's really hard. And like I said, sometimes I'll start talking about something and Michelle will say, why don't you stop talking about it? Meaning, that's in the past. Stop that. It's in the past. And you know what it really comes down to is it's a lack of forgiveness. And all those people who screwed me over in London, I can run down the list. Tell them, if I get going on, they'll all come back to my memory. I ought to call every one of them. Say, man, God bless you. Look what you've got me doing now. I would never be doing podcasting. I would never be advancing the kingdom of God if you hadn't done that. God bless you. Thanks for playing a role. You understand what I'm saying? Rather than being bitter about it. And so many of us are carrying around so much bitterness. How about this? I find out people were mad at me, and I didn't even know it. I didn't know it. I said, what? He's mad about what? Well, you said this. Are you kidding me? What? He's mad about that? Meaning what? Who are you holding a grudge against? If you're holding a grudge against him, do they know it? Have you said something to him? Do you walk up to him and say, hey, I want you to know I forgive you? Because that's not the way to approach it. You walk up to them and say, hey, man, listen, will you forgive me? I've just been holding a grudge and it's been hard. I mean, it's really been hard, but forgive me, man. I don't want that to occupy my life. We always want the other guy to apologize first, don't we? Once you forgive, you can move on. I'm feeling like a psychologist here this morning. Come on in, Mary Beth. Somebody come on in. Come on. David Arthur.
Coach,
David Arthur. Think about what was done to you and the damage it caused. Come on, Mary Beth.
Just one more thing. My dad was killed by negligence by a surgeon, and he could have easily lived. And there was a surgeon upstairs, and we were going to sue, and we didn't sue, and the doctor got moved. And he was actually my old pastor, okay, not the one I talked about before, but a pastor that I was under for a long time, and I really loved him, and I went to him because my son died, and he came to the funeral. And anyway, I guess, Coach, maybe someday I need to go up to him and say, I forgive you for holding a grudge, because I have spoken those words and asked the Lord, told the Lord, I forgive this man. No, but yet every time it comes up.
Mary Beth, you need to ask him to forgive you for holding a grudge.
To forgive me for holding a grudge. Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Right.
You have to ask him for forgiveness. He doesn't even know you're holding a grudge, maybe, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure he knows, because that's how
it was. Even
write him a letter. You can
feel that. Write him a letter. Just write him a letter. Say, I want you to know.
Man, yeah, that's a good idea.
I forgive you.
That's man. A really good idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
At the end of the day, is there really much you can do other than forgive? What else can you do? Say, I'm sorry, move on. And if the person wants to hold a grudge,
there's
a whole lot you can do.
It's cathartic. It would be a cathartic thing. It really would. I mean, not that I sit here and carry it around every single day, but when I see him and I see his family, and I'm sure that, being a human being, that's not going to may not go away entirely, but that's a really good idea. So thank you.
Yeah. Do you think he thinks the same thing? Maybe he sees you, knows what he did. Sorry, doesn't know how to make it right. Huh? Accidents happen. Some of them take lives. It's the consequences of it, right? Some of them end up in abortions, baby murder. It's just consequences of it, isn't it?
His was pride, though. Because he didn't like my sister, who's a doctor. But yeah. Anyway, I could go on and on about it.
Hey, look, folks, this is so critical. Don't go up to them and say, hey, I want you to know I forgive you for what you did to my brother. And he's thinking, what? No. You go up to him and say, hey, look, I want you to know I've held a grudge for a long time. I just want, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? Because it's not about him. It is, but it isn't about him. It's about you. And the fact that that door of unforgiveness is opening the door to stuff you probably can't even imagine. When you've opened that portal, that super highway, how can you be shocked about anything that comes in? And so, forgiveness is really, hey, what's that called? Oh, I remember Michelle talks about a ministry out there called Surrender the Secret. And Surrender the Secret is a ministry for women who've had abortions and then cannot forgive themselves for what they did. Who do you apologize to if you had an abortion? Who do you apologize to? Well, Surrender the Secret is process where you apologize to the child. Sorry, man. Sorry. God, I wish I could have you back. I wish I could hold you. It's every day of my life I've thought about you. Every day. I'm so sorry. And only when you begin to do that do you close that door to the devil constantly, or his minions constantly whispering in your ear, oh, yeah, well, you did it to your kid. I know that, right? We know how that game's played. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for sharing. Coaches, you're going through those 11 things, and once you've lived as long as we have, we can relate to so many things, right? Wow. We've seen the impact on our lives. And I do find it interesting. In Scripture, it says where it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, yet why is it we strive so hard after the riches? I find it interesting that the name and claim of Blab-a-Grab-a group, you know, they judge their spirituality by how many things they've accumulated, right? And, yeah. You know, Coach, you talked about there's 42,000 Christian religions, but unfortunately, there's 41,900 false religions out there. Deceptive. And that really grieves me about the deception we've fallen into. But the material things can consume you, right? And I think it's so important for us to look at that and take a look at our hearts and see where our priorities are at. And I thank God for the struggles I had. It was all, I learned so much about life in the struggles, right? Amen. That's where I learned everything. And some people that are born with a silver spoon in their mouth and they've had everything, it's hard to reach them because they think they have need of nothing. And so that in itself can be a curse. But thanks for sharing this morning. All those things you touched on are so important. But, yeah, the material things can be a deception. And if we think we can gauge our spirituality by how many material blessings we've had, we need to rethink our position.
Amen. And, folks, I want you to rethink this. Really, some of you can write letters. But if you start out your letter or you start out your apology saying to somebody, I want you to know that I forgive you for whatever, stealing my boyfriend, whatever it would be. No, because that immediately puts them on the defensive. You're going to apologize for the grudge you held. See, I want you to know that for 20 years, every time I saw you, I wanted to puke. And I just wonder, would you forgive me of that? I know probably if you had it to do over again, you probably would have done things differently. And I would have too. And I just want you to know, I understand and I forgive you. But see, that's not, forgiveness, if real forgiveness is in your heart, you're going to come and you're going to confess about what you did, not what they did. Because when you do that, when you say, would you forgive me for, when I was at London, I'm playing a role here. Boy, when I was at London, man, you led that, you're the one, you were the main person trying to get me fired. And I want you to know, I think about it every day and I forgive you. No, say, hey, listen, I just want you to know that, boy, I went through some rough times there in London when you guys ran me out of there. And I did a lot of things wrong last coaching. I just, can you forgive me? You probably had some valid reasons for what you did. And just forgive me for whatever I might have done to cause that feeling in you. It puts it on entirely different. You are confessing your fault. By the way, isn't that what the Bible says? Confess your faults one to another, that you might be healed. You don't go confess the other guy's faults and say, I forgive you for doing that. Hey, I forgive you going out on my wife. I forgive you. No, that's not what it is. Forgive me. Forgive me for holding this resentment against you. I had every right to be pissed off, and I was pissed off. But, hey, that's life. I want you to know I forgive you. I don't want to carry this stuff with me. I forgive you. We're not going to be best buddies, but I forgive you. It's hard, man. It's hard. And so we see a lot of people whose lives are literally burdened through unforgiveness, which is a portal to opening up your life to other demonic issues. Come on, you know that. Alcoholism, drug abuse, smoking cigarettes, arguing with your husband, not being forgiving towards others, because these things are spiritual things. And that's how the enemy wants to get us. I'm about shot this morning. Somebody, come on in. Come on in. I don't know why this was impressed upon me. Well, I do know why. I'm not at liberty to share it with you. It is so easy to be angry. It's so easy. It's natural. And I think I told you this story before. Somebody came and apologized to me for basically this, what we're talking about here. And I thought, are you kidding me? That wasn't what I meant. You mean you've been mad at me for 5 years for something I said and you just took it the wrong way? I'm so sorry you took it that way. And the sooner you go to that person, the sooner things can get cleared up. And that oppression from the evil one will leave you. It's a critical spirit. We don't understand the spiritual realm. We don't really know what it is. But you guys know daggone well that you get spiritually oppressed by past life experiences. There are consequences to it. And it starts with forgiveness, I think. Mary Beth?
I got to tell one more quick thing. Okay. I was a babysitter years ago.
Am I hitting you between the eyes today, Mary Beth?
Oh, my gosh. The Holy Spirit is. Totally.
Yeah, that's where
I'm like, I'm going to go back and take notes, and I'm going to send this out to everybody. But anyway, I was babysitting for some kids, two kids years ago, and I nicked their end table. And they were like these perfect people. Everything was clean and smelled good and perfect people kind of thing, you know? And I nicked their end table. And I stressed about that for like 5 years, maybe longer. And anyway, and the kids got blamed. I wondered if the kids got blamed or something, or I knew they did. But so years later, I see Jeannie and I told her about this. And I said, I just wanted to ask your forgiveness for, you know, nicking your table. She's like, what table? So like I stressed about this thing for 5 years and she had no idea. Mm. Interesting.
It is interesting. And you know this, that name comes up. So you know who it is. That person brings that name up. Somebody else mentions that name to you and you get that feeling inside of you, that feeling of resentment. Boy, that person, blah, blah, right? Dude, Bible says in the same way that we forgive, we will be forgiven is what it says. And if you get that feeling, it comes up inside of you, you didn't forgive. You didn't forgive, and you're the one that's in bondage. That other person doesn't know that you're thinking about them and getting pissed and you're angry. They don't know it. You are in your own bondage. Now, I don't expect to be best friends with him, go out and have a beer and hamburger together. But at some point, lay it on the altar, say, "Amen. I want you to know that crushed me, but I forgive you." I said to my wife last night, "Do you have any idea where where Coach Dave Live would be today if those group of people didn't come after me in London?" He said, "Well, Coach, you'd be coaching in the NFL." "Yeah, maybe. It might be. It was a change of course. Been a pretty good course. I think you guys out there who come here every day probably pretty glad that the Lord directed me to this. And it still hurts. I look over my shoulder and it still hurts. But I don't let it control me. That's why I've used this illustration before. Here's my phone, right? Here's my phone, right? Driving down the car, it's a rear view mirror. Got a great big windshield where you're gone, and a real tiny windshield of where you've been. It's so much more important where you're gone than where you've been. And a lot of you driving down the road looking in the rear view mirror. You'll never get free. You'll never get free. If that's it, if that's how you want to live, you'll never get free. James, come on in.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Love you, brother. The battlefield of the mind is just, it's kind of where Satan takes an issue. And, if you have an issue with a brother or whatever, just like our little sniff the other day, you don't realize how my mind tormented me. That's why I had to do this forgiveness thing really quick.
Sure.
My heart was wounded because I felt I wounded some brethren, So, and you keep kind of, so your mind goes there. Your mind just overplays this, and the devil just throws. So you have to cast down those imaginations. So it's really a battlefield of the mind.
Well, James, it comes down to this. Here's what it comes down to. Not can I say the truth or should I say the truth? You understand the difference in those two? There's timing. When I should say it, how I should say it. You should always speak the truth. But timing, place, all that stuff is so important when you do it.
Amen. I really can't imagine the amount of guilt of someone who murders their baby. I just can't imagine it.
It's a spirit. It's a spirit, brother.
So, this is why, once it's done, this is why you see these people are so way wicked, because it's just a part of their life. And, you have to kind of, if you go, I watch sometimes these murder mysteries, like 48 Hours and crime scenes and stuff. There's always a common denominator: money, sex, and greed.
So, James, let's ask ourselves a question. Why do we suppose those women, those pro-abortion women, are out there so angry marching? Do you think maybe they're wounded? Anybody think maybe they're wounded?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
they want to justify their sin. They're wounded inside because they knew that they murdered their baby, and they can't get away from that guilt, no matter how many people that hang around them tell them it's okay that they did it, and they really didn't have a choice, and the husband wasn't any good, all that, right? But deep inside, they know it was wrong. And so what do? They don't know the Lord, so they come out and they strike out and do what all of us would do. Let's defend ourselves. This is why I did it. And it's you pro-lifers. Ray LeBronc, if you weren't out here, I wouldn't feel this way, right? And so how do you forgive yourself if you don't think it was wrong? And that, I think, is a lot. I didn't mean to cut you off, James. Go ahead. I meant to cut you off. Yes, I did. I'm lying.
Anyway, just pray for these sisters. My daughter, she had a pretty big pro-life ministry. And that was one of her things, telling women what's coming after they do this deed. The guilt, the shame, everything that goes with it. I mean, look at the mourning of someone who just has a miscarriage, a normal miscarriage, how wounding that is. So anyway, the devil knows how to play this game. He knows the heart, the mind connection, and he plays into it a hard time. So love you, brother. Love you all. Bye.
A moment of weakness. The devil looks for moments of weakness to try and enter into our lives. We're not perfect, and sometimes we snap and act in a way that's not right or watch something we shouldn't have done. When we don't repent to God and to the person we hurt and then change our behavior, that's where it could become an open door. That's why I try always, as quickly as I can, to hug my wife and forgive her, even when she's pissed me off. All right? Come on now. So, devil's real. And we do wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And what is the purpose? Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Why did the devil come? That he might destroy life and destroy it more abundantly. See, you can live your life alive, but dead. You're alive, but you're dead. It's a spiritual condition. You can live your life in guilt, regret, driving down the road, looking in the rearview mirror, or you can forgive, receive forgiveness, forget, live on, go walk on to a more abundant life in Christ. And folks, revenge and anger and unforgiveness should not abide in the heart of a Christian. And we know it does, right? It's hard, man. Why? Because what they did to me was wrong, damn it. Yeah. You ever done anything wrong? Damn it. Yeah. Or misunderstanding? Well, who wants to wrap us up here? We've got 3 minutes. So
Hey, Coach, you asked some questions, and I'm sorry I didn't get you. What did you ask? Did you say Dingo's 9 years old? And I saw the vet just come in, so we're going to have to leave. So, yeah, and he's swollen underneath his, like, his behind and his whole swollen. It's like
You know why we love dogs so much?
Because they're unconditional love for us.
People are good, would be better if they acted like dogs. No matter how mad you are at your dog, you spank him and you put him outside, in about 2 minutes he'll be back at the door with his tail wagging. Right? Unconditional love, forgiveness from a dog. It's crazy, huh? We can learn the lesson. Lauren, quickly, got a couple minutes.
Can I pray for Betty and her dog and her vet?
Yeah, yeah.
Because Betty's heart is broken and it's heavy.
Yep.
So God, we lift up Betty. We know how much we love her, but you love her so much more. And you know how much Dingo means to her and her animals. And Lord God, I'm asking you, in the mighty name of Jesus, you created Dingo too. You said all creation brings you glory. And Dingo is Betty's buddy. So give the vet wisdom. Heal Dingo. He's only 9 years old. Comfort Betty and the dog and Dingo and the vet so that they have wisdom. And we look forward to you healing and giving the vet wisdom and also being with Betty as her heart is breaking and it's heavy. Keep her safe on the road as she travels to and from. Give her traveling mercies. Hug her. Whisper in her ear how much you love her and you got this. You are the great physician, not just of people, but of your animals and your creation. So thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking care of Betty and Dingo and the vet and watching over their home. And if there's any demon that is there, Lord God, evict him. It's these that demons that cause pain and suffering to get to Betty through her animals. Lord God, bind them up. And we command them to go to the feet of Jesus. They are trespassing. Betty's home belongs to you, all of it, including Dingo. So thank you, Lord God, for taking care of the demons, sending angels to minister to Betty, and Lord God, doing what you do best. in Jesus' beautiful, sweet name. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hey, cover me tonight. Going to Marietta, Michelle and I. Open door. Help me speak the truth. God bless you. See you in the morning.